This is Believe in Buckeyes with Brian Browning and Chindi Chekwa, man. We got a great one. We in a great mood.
Fun good, man.
How been, man? We Fun came good. Away with a victory by the, essentially really the skin of our teeth. But hey, we got the victory nonetheless. This show is presented by Bet Online, and Chim, go ahead and hit him with the ad.
So football is back, and Bet Online is your number one information source for all your sports wagering info with all the up-to-minute stats, news, scores, and matchup breakdowns. Get the latest game odds, spreads, and totals from the NFL, college football at your fingertips with Bet Online's real-time updates on statistics, news, and odds. From week one all the way to college football playoff and Super Bowl, Bet Online gives you access to the best football promotions and contests available anywhere online. So head to the website today, use your mobile device to get in on the action. Remember to use your promo code BLEAV, that's BLEAV, to receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet Online, where the game starts.
And yes, and so, like we said, man, we're here to talk about the Ohio State-Notre Dame game. Obviously, we was able to pull that one off. Literally get the go-ahead touchdown with 1 second left on the clock, and we beat Notre Dame 17-14. Man, just a – oh, yes.
Cripples, man. I'm eating good. I'm eating good this week, man. I mean,
you should be.
Yeah, I'm celebrating this win, man. It was a great game, man. I thought just forget about Notre Dame, Ohio State, whatever. Just in general, right? You have two heavyweights going at it, and it was a heavyweight fight. Back and forth. Everything you wanted. Both fan bases were angry at their coaches at some point during the game. Both fan bases loved the coaches at some point during the game. Some people were turning the game off. Some people couldn't handle the pressure. So you know, it was a classic game. I thought two teams that executed for the most part executed well, went back and forth. So I mean, that's what you love about college football, right?
Yeah, and man, like you say, it was just an exciting game. Very well played by both teams, and very evenly played. I mean, before this, you know, we kind of start going, you know, diving into the stat line, and I mean, essentially, it's just as even as could be. No team had a turnover. Passing, I think we had the edge slightly. Rushing, they had the edge slightly. Third down was in our favor, but they still had pretty. They're still pretty good on third down, and this came down just to really, you know, who I guess like Coach Day would say, you know, who was the tough guy, who was the tough team when it came down to it in the end. The guys who could execute and come away with the win, and obviously we was able to do that. It turned that Saturday night from a sad, bitter face moment to a cheek-to-cheek smile for the rest of the evening. Yeah. So, we came away with it, and it was huge. It was huge.
Yeah, it was a good game, man. I got the Silver Bullets. Oh, man, Silver Bullets are back, man. I like what the defense showed. But, you know, it was just one of those games. You mentioned evenly matched. No turnovers on either side. Now, there was some opportunities ways to create some turnovers, but no turnovers on either side. Relatively clean game from a penalty standpoint, a few penalties here and there. It was just a tough fought battle overall. I enjoyed it, man. I was on the edge of my seat all game. Emotions up and down. Fired up, man. I thought the defense came out there and played well. So that's always – whenever the defense comes out and plays well, I always enjoy the game to an extent, right? Right. And yeah, man, it was a tough game overall. I thought, Notre Dame. I mean, I think they did everything, almost everything that they could to put the game in a situation where they wanted it to be. Right, mm-hmm. They're at home. They got their crowd behind them. In the second half, they came out there, and they were who they were. You know, they're who they are. They have the identity of being able to run the ball, be physical, execute well on defense, and I thought they did that. I thought going in that Notre Dame was more closer to the finished product of who they are than Ohio State is. And I thought they played that way, but unfortunately they couldn't get it done.
Notre Dame, this would be frank. I mean, they got a quarterback in Sam Hartman. I believe this was his 53rd college game. 49th or 50 start in college. I mean, you're looking at a guy that's, I mean, more than a seasoned vet. I mean, this guy's a pro at the quarterback position that they bring it to the game. And then, as in this all across the board, like you say, there was more both teams had got a lot of people returning, but the places where Ohio State was returning new guys at the quarterback, at the offensive tackle positions, very crucial, you know, positions in any game, especially in a big game. And we had, and I'm not going to say question marks, but we just had newer guys in that position compared to Notre Dame, where their left tackle is potential first rounder, right tackle, potential high round draft pick. Like I say, what I just said, you know, where Hartman was at the quarterback position and, you know, who they were going into this game. But once again, our defense, I mean, you go out there and you hold that offense to 14 points. I mean, you're doing, you know, that's pretty good. You give your team a chance to win that game. Yeah. And they're able to do that. Obviously, they held them scoreless in the first half. Obviously, a couple of touchdowns in the second half. And then when it really came down to is, you know, in the first half, we had an opportunity to kick a field goal. And on Notre Dame's side of things, they had a couple opportunities to kick field goals where they didn't take that opportunity. And then they tried one that they did end up missing. And so that's kind of how the game goes when you're playing against two Titans like Ohio State and Notre Dame.
Yeah. And, you know, one of the things, there was some opportunities on both sides that, you know, you make these opportunities, it leads to a win. And Notre Dame, the biggest blunder of the game, in my opinion, was 10 guys on the field when it came winning time. 10 guys, man. So, listen, at the end of the day, when you have a close game like this, the team that executes the best ends up winning. And at the end of the day, when it came time to win the game, one team executed. And for the most part, we're going to talk more about the run game, and the other team just didn't bring enough guys to the party. Right? They just didn't have enough guys.
That's a whole conversation that we will have. But you know, going to the game, we want to kind of give a hats off to a few guys that kind of, I want to say, their performance kind of, you know, got things to go in our favor. And the first one would be our quarterback. Our guy going into his fourth, maybe this fifth start. He started a game last season.
Yeah.
But, you know, first season as a starter, Kyle McCord goes out there. And then essentially, I mean, overall his stats was pretty, it was decent. I mean, you know, they wasn't jumping off the charts or anything like that. But was pretty impressive down. Third and fourth down, he went 11 of 15, 162 yards. So essentially when we needed him most, like I say, the extended drive, third, fourth down, that's when he, you know, he really locked in and was able to make those throws and continue to get the chains moving. That's, in my book, if it's one thing I say that, you know, won us the game, that, you know, kept us in it enough to get it, would be his third down performance and him making those completions and out in those timely at that time.
Yeah. Money in the clutch, man. He was money in the clutch. I mean, he had some throws that he missed. He had some opportunities that he missed. But when it came down to we need a play to move the chains, or we need a play to go win the game, he made the play. And, yeah, you know, for a guy who hasn't had that many starts to go against a guy who's pretty much, I mean, he's pretty much a professional quarterback at this point.
You're right? Pro.
And to beat him out in that way, man, kudos to Kyle McCord. I thought he showed a lot of heart. I thought he showed how tough he was. I mean, there was a play where, I mean, it ended up being intentional grounding, but there was a play where, you know, he got grabbed and he was able to spin off and throw the ball away. I'm like, man, this guy is a lot tougher than he looks, you know? He had a good game for sure.
And going to that, I mean, like we said, we talk about those tough passes that he made on third down. A lot of times the people making those catches was Emeka, who went had 7 catches for 96 yards. Obviously, the biggest catch is, you know, that catch right there in fourth quarter to get us down to the 1 yard line. But essentially, he was just very quarterback friendly. I mean, on third down, McCord was finding him, and he was, I mean, you know, watching the clips of the game, you know, he wasn't necessarily wide open, but, you know, he was playing tough, playing through contact and making very tough catches all day to kind of keep the chains moving. And also wanted to shout out Kay Stover coming in early in the game. I mean, he was our offense, to be frank. We was getting the ball to Kay, and he was throwing defenders left and right. So he had 7 catches for 52 yards. And in that first half, like I said, it's really where he kind of really shined. Well, essentially, we really wasn't getting much run or pass. You know, he kind of stood in that gap, made some tough catches. And like I say, just every time he gets the ball, it's just like a gladiator, right? He's just kind of, you know, fighting for every inch and just doing every can. And a lot of times he kind of get nicked because of it. But, you know, he gives us that energy, him making those plays.
And Fleming had a big third down catch to move the chains on that last drive. What's going to happen more and more is, you know, they're going to double Marvin Harris.
Yeah.
And you even saw at times they double Marvin Harrison in the Booker and put everybody else in one-on-one coverage. And in those situations, guys got to win the one-on-one matchups. And I think Kay Stover, he provides a big target for Kyle McCord in the middle of the field. He made some big plays. There was one play where the ball was just thrown up. And it looked like there was more Notre Dame guys than Ohio State guys, and McCord still came down with it. Huge play. And shout out to Marvin Harrison, man. He had a great catch that they said that wasn't a catch. But I truly expect for the Big Ten officials to come back and say that was a mistake, because that was clearly a catch.
Clearly a catch.
Kept talking about his hand being getting down. And I'm like, what about the foot? We always focus on the foot. Now you
about foot. What about the foot? The foot is on the ground right. With the ball. Right. Yeah.
Well, shout out to Marvin. That's why I have to, I went out there, give him some more NIL money. I know you made a lot already. The way they double teaming him out there, man, go out there and support him. So I thought he had a big game. But those guys, Fleming, Abuka, Stover, there was another guy had a big catch, but they're going to have some opportunities in the middle of the field to work guys one-on-one. And Kyle McCord did a great job of finding those guys.
And yes, he did. And also, our running back, we talked about Trevion Henderson and how he was essentially just a home run hitter his true freshman year. And then last year, he's battled some injuries. So, the games he did play, he still played well, but he just didn't, get to play in every game of the season where we kind of see things kind of production kind of go down. But this year, he's back being healthy, right? Everyone's, you ask anyone about the running backs, like Trevion is healthy. He has his explosion back. And so we got to see that. First couple weeks is really some big plays, big runs. He's jumping over guys, things of that nature. And then this Saturday, the big run for 61 yards and the touchdown in the third quarter there that really was it was just a fantastic run. He got the lane and he just, hit the jets and got into the end zone. And that's what we like to see out of Trevion. He finished the day with 14 rushes, 104 yards. Obviously, once again, it was tough picking 4 yards, but you could break one like that for a explosive play. It definitely helps out in overall and winning the game like
this. And it's what he brings to the table. There's the discussion about who should get the carries at running back. First of all, you can have multiple guys get carries. Notre Dame had 5 guys getting hand in the first quarter. I'm like, man, they sharing the ball that much. But Henderson brings that element of whenever he gets the ball, there's a chance it goes for 50. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's something that not everybody has, right? So, he was huge in this game because yards was tough to come by. Touchdowns was tough to come by. The ability to hand the ball off and for that joint to just go for a touchdown, an explosive play, that's huge to really change the game. And obviously, Chip was big in the game, man. He positive yard.
The biggest one-yard gain of the day.
Great job in pass protection as well. Need to get him in more of these pass protection situations. But, the guy stepped up, man. Huge game.
Yeah, that's for sure. And obviously, once again, our defense, right? Allowed 14 points. I think Notre Dame at the time was averaging going to the game, over 40 points a game. Silver Bullets kind of went out there. And once again, some things they need to improve on. But when it came down to it, they only allowed 14 points on the board. And like I said, once again, if you're able to do that, fight hard at the line of scrimmage like they did early, controlling the run game. Late Notre Dame kind of hurt us a little bit, but like I said, they was kind of diving in forward to make sure that they was, in those positions. They limited no huge explosion, no explosive games as we've been seeing once again from our defense in big games, just giving up explosive plays, which was different. We improved. That shows improvement. And like you say, that Silver Bullet defense is back. So now, I think you got a clock. What is this? 4 games. They got 34 points?
That's pretty good, man. they showed up, man. They showed up. Yeah. Big third down and ones, fourth and ones, getting the stop. I saw a fight. I saw a fight in that defense. And you mentioned no explosive plays. They clearly was focused on not giving up the explosive. That's a lesson from last year, Michigan game and the following game in the playoffs. The second piece of it was, they just played hard. I thought they played hard. They were on the field a lot in that second half. Obviously, they got tired down a little bit. Notre Dame, look, the reality is Notre Dame is a really good football team.
That's right.
And they're really good at running the ball, and they're really good at controlling the clock. So they were going to make some plays, and they made some. We're going to talk a little bit more about what the, where the defense can improve, but overall, solid performance. When you hold a team that's in ranked in the top 10 to 14 or less points, that's a game you're supposed to win.
That's so right. And yeah, so now we got to get into our guy, all right? Our leader, the leader of the football team, and you know, the emotion he showed after the game. After the game, calling out Lou Holtz on calling his team essentially soft, and you know, going to it, and our media guy Jerry Emig just kind of like, hey, be careful, and then, you know, right, like, I'm not being careful right now. What am I? Where's the camera at? Let me speak my piece, man. He went out there, called guys out. I loved it, man. It was exciting to see him kind of go out there and say that in that emotional and time. What was your thoughts on that?
I loved it too. Shout out to Jerry, man. Imagine being in that situation, right? You're trying to control the situation as much as possible, but you know, you got an enthusiastic head coach, somebody who's not taking it no more. Like, he's pretty much saying, like, look, I'm hearing all this slick talk. And here's the thing, though. Here's the thing. To me, I mean, obviously, he focused on Lou Holtz, and Lou Holtz was the most recent person that has mentioned something. But this wasn't just Lou. It's like one of those things where, you know, when you were younger, and you maybe had an older guy teasing you, you know, you couldn't really. I couldn't say nothing to him. I can't say nothing to all the Ohio State fans that keep talking, you know. But that guy over there, he better not laugh at me like that. Why you laughing? You know what I'm saying? That was the approach. Like, this is the last straw, right? Mm-hmm. And you shouldn't have said nothing to me. And I like it, man. I think, you know, at the end of the day, man, there has to be something that the team rallies around.
Yeah.
And I think it's always been this, bro. You know, when we play, it's always been, is everybody in this locker room, we're gonna get criticized by the outsiders. We're gonna get criticized by our, you know, our own fans, depending on how we play. So at some point we got to come together and fight back. Like, no matter what the narrative is, we got to make sure that we change it internally. I like the fire from him. I think the team feeds off of that, and I think that's important. You know, for them to always have something to give them an edge, no matter who they're playing against.
Yeah.
So I love it.
Yeah, I mean, because really when you look at it, I mean, like you say, Lou Holtz was essentially the boiling point. But, you know, when you listen to, you know, what Lou Holtz said, I mean, it was pretty personal. Like, I mean, right? Because, I mean, Lou was naming, like, you know, you guys lost to Michigan. You guys lost to Georgia. You guys lost to Alabama. And you lost these games because your guys are not tough enough when it comes down. And then essentially, like you say, it is the knock that the Coach Day teams have. Like, you know, these guys are finesse guys. They just want to pass the ball. When they get in these tight situations, they don't want to be physical. And due to that reason, when another team is being physical, like the team up north, now we're Ohio State is losing these games because of this situation. I mean, he want to nip it in the bud. I mean, obviously, his energy means a lot. It meant a lot to Buckeye Nation, and I'm sure it means the most to, like you say, the guys in the locker room. That, you know, they heard the clip, and I'm sure he went in there and gave them a great speech and how things went and what he said, and you know, and I'm sure once again that bulletin board material just kind of gets the gloat now that you could say it to the nation that, you know, this is how we was feeling, this is how what we did about it.
So one thing that's kind of crazy though to me is that he named all the teams that Ryan Dez lost.
Yeah. All he only got six losses.
He got 50 wins. And he made all six of the teams. It's like, bro, this is impressive. And then none of these teams, you know, let's keep it a buck now. We lost to Purdue on the road when we, you know what I'm saying, when we played. We lost to Illinois at home. We lost to Wisconsin on the road. We lost them to some teams that we shouldn't have lost.
Right.
The teams that he named, there's not one team on that list that we say, oh no, there's no way you're supposed to lose to them. Now it feels like it goes double when you lose to that team up north. It feels like two losses, right? But aside from those, Alabama, Clemson in the playoffs, Alabama in a whatever playoff championship, who was that?
Georgia in the playoffs.
Like, these are legit teams, right? These are respectable losses. So, you know, Lou Holtz, man, look.
Yeah.
He earned that him or Ryan Day firing off of him.
I'm gonna say shout out to Lou. I mean, because maybe Lou thought it was a title that I'm gonna challenge this young man. Like, he's a young coach, and I'm gonna challenge him with this. And I mean, obviously, it came off as, you know, you catch the disrespect, but you know, I mean, Lou Holtz is a Hall of Fame coach, man, right? You know, and you know, he said it how you said it, and I mean, he got to take it the way he had to take it. Now, you know, now that the game is over and we came out on top, we're running the ball with 1 second left. It's 3 seconds on the clock, and we run the ball on the goal line and get a touchdown. What's harder than that?
They said Lou Holtz was asleep by halftime. He ain't even see that. He's in bed, man. He ain't even see that snapback.
Yeah, but another thing, though, another thing we want to kind of discuss here is that, you know, when you give up material like that kind of that bulletin board material, you know, obviously in this game, third quarter, Trevion Henderson break for 61 yards. We get a touchdown. But on that same play, we got a guy rolling to Marvin Harrison Jr., and he rolled his ankle. I mean, if you watch it, everyone's seen that, you know, seen it and probably been through it before. You know, it's a real, you know, he legit rolled his ankle. Mm-hmm. And he goes to the sideline. Goes into the tent, get a spat job, and he's right back out there. And we already know what he was bringing to the game. Like, you know, the coverage is rolling this way. They got a double team on him. Him showing that toughness that, you know, let's be frank, he's a top 1 to 5 draft pick, right? He might go number 1 overall. Yep. He's that good. Yep. But in that game, you know, obviously he wouldn't think about that. He just think about what can he do to help his team win, and I need to get back out there on the field. And after the injury, still go out there and make catches. And this kind of shows, you know, a little bit, you know, about what this team is about, what the leaders are about, is that, you know, essentially they're locked in on the right now, and they're not out there making business decisions that sometimes you start to think guys are making when they kind of get to that star level.
Just shout out to him for real, man, because him not being on the field changes the way a team plays defense against Ohio State. That's just the reality. Type of a game break on the field, you got to give him extra attention. But let's talk about where we need to improve, right? Yeah. Obviously, it wasn't a perfect game, right? Yep. As much as we enjoyed the win. And this was, to me, I was like, this is the short yardage game. So many opportunities on both sides in short yardage. A lot of them came up short on both sides. Mm-hmm.
For both teams, right.
Yeah. So let's just kind of talk about some of the improvement areas. Specifically, what did you see on that short yardage?
Yeah, so I mean, and like I said, we've been kind of diving in this, and if you follow us on our Believe in Buckeyes YouTube page, we're gonna put some of these clips out there and kind of discuss what we're seeing, what happened, and essentially what we think should happen, more or less. But let's be frank, I mean, we get to the 1 yard line in the first half. You know, we don't execute, we don't get a touchdown. We have some 3rd-and-1 situations throughout the game. We don't execute, and you know, we don't get the first down. And then the biggest one, I would say, in the game is, you know, we're down. It's about, what is it, about 5-6 minutes left in the game. We're going in. We go for it on 4th-and-1, and we try jet sweep.
Jet sweep.
Like, the game is on the line. It's not even 4th-and-1. Like, right? It's 4th-and-inches, right? We need, like, 2 inches for a first down, and we try to do a jet sweep around the edge, and we lose yards. And it's just – I don't even know what to say. That call was so crazy. It was just so bitter in my mouth. Like, for us to, if we lost the game, that was our last play in Notre Dame, get the first downs they need to run the clock out. That's our last play. I don't even know what to say about it. Like, it's such a crazy call and such a backwards mindset on how to get how to win a game in that type of situation. Is you almost can't even speak to it.
Yeah, it didn't happen. That's what I'm going with. That didn't happen. Like, I'm gonna say, you know, it was I'm giving them a mulligan or whatever you call it. Like, this was just a messed up, something messed up. I know it came after a timeout and they probably thought it through, but I'm gonna say it didn't happen.
They thought it wrong.
It wasn't real.
Yeah.
I don't expect it to happen again. I just don't expect that to happen again. I you see the jet sweep action a lot on the short yardage plays. You never really consider the fact that they might hand off this jet sweep. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, like, they might actually do that. And no, they shouldn't do that. They shouldn't do it. Not at Ohio State.
Yeah. On the road in a situation like that, no, it shouldn't happen. And then, obviously, defense, like I say, holding 14 points, great job there. But, you know, we did really, when it came down to it, It was a lack of pass rush. Let's just be frank. Our defensive ends, you know, we got two, I want to say they were very highly recruited guys, and we've seen JTT make several plays, even in this game, right? He is able to make some plays. But throughout the game, essentially, we never saw them get on that edge and stand up to that talent that Notre Dame had on that on the offensive tackle position and get wins when essentially it's just four-man rush and we just need them to get a pass rush and disrupt things. So, I mean, you got to work on it. We just didn't see it.
We're going to have to figure something out here because it's like, you know, we got ends. I mean, they could get some pressure, but it's not enough. And we don't have a guy that's super fast with the first step, that's really explosive off the edge. And Nose is going to have to figure something out, right? Because obviously there was a reluctance to send a lot of pressure.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we really wanted to make sure we eliminate the explosives. And I thought the game plan was solid in that, you know, if we can contain them and not give up explosives, we can put ourselves in a position to win the game, which they did. But he's going to have to start mixing in some of that gym. I know he was itching to call some of those blitzes. You're going to have to scratch that itch here and there because you got to get pressure or bring in a linebacker, a bigger guy, a guy who is faster that maybe in those when you rush four, a guy who can get a little bit more speed off the edge. You may not get pressure immediately, but you can't let that guy can't sit back there all day.
Yeah, so
no matter how many guys you got dropping, eventually he's going to find a seam, especially if he's a veteran quarterback like you had out there with Notre Dame.
So Notre Dame, yeah. So, I mean, but once again, we get the win. This week we have a bye week, so our guys get to rest up, heal up before we kind of really get into Big Ten play. But like I said, we got the win. We're 4-0. We all our goals are still right there in front of us, and so we just got to, you know, keep chugging away, keep improving, and get ready to make a run here for the rest of the year.
And this is a big win for growth, man. This is something – that when you feel it and then when you see it again, like you're in the position again, you're prepared for it, you believe, and it's important. It's important for those games on the road.
That's right. And that's our show for today. So this is, once again, Believe in Buckeyes with Brian Brownie and Chindi Chekwa. If you follow us on YouTube, catch us there. We're going to kind of dive into some of these plays. But as we always end every show, and as we should, with a big OH.
I-O.
Go Bucks.
Go Bucks, baby. Go Bucks.